Well, good evening and welcome on this Wednesday evening, March 3rd, during this Lenten season. Hopefully you picked up a bulletin out on the table. If not, maybe you can do that as I share. Do want to thank people. It's kind of hard to talk more about my mother, but I did come back late last night from Montana. I was there for 5 days and then got extended. I had a great visit with my mother on Wednesday, and then she fell on Thursday night and broke her left wrist and her left hip. No surgery was needed, but it kind of swirled around lots of other issues that have been developing, so she was placed into hospice care yesterday. She was returned to her apartment in the assisted living unit, so she has all her familiar surroundings, but most important, she has her cat. So I picked one of my sisters up Monday night at the airport, and she took over. I came home yesterday, and my older sister arrived there today. And then I have another sister coming on Saturday and a brother coming. And so there's these next 7-8 days are well covered with visitors for my mother. And one of the blessings of being in hospice care is that the family can go into her room at any time and visit. So thank you for your prayers and concern about that. As we worship tonight, hopefully all the scriptures are going to appear on the screen. I know that there were issues maybe last Wednesday, but that was one simple little thing that we got fixed before Sunday, so hopefully it all works. But we're going to begin by reading from Isaiah 51, verses 1 through 6. Isaiah 51, 1 through 6. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, and who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut, and to the quarry from which you were hewn. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who gave you birth. When I called him, he was but one, and I blessed him and made him many. The Lord will surely comfort Zion, and will look with compassion on all her ruins. He will make her deserts like Eden, her wastelands like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of singing. Listen to me, my people, hear me, my nation. The law will go out from me. My justice will become a light to the nations. My righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way, and my arm will bring justice to the nations. The islands will look to me and wait in hope for my arm. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look at the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like smoke, and the earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants die like flies. But my salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for gathering us together and allowing us to connect into this time of worship this evening. Lord, in this season of Lent, as we seek to spend time in reflection, in spiritual growth, as we seek to come before you, Lord, we thank you for gathering us, and we pray that your Spirit would be upon us as we sing and as we pray and as we talk this night. Lord, for your glory we pray. Amen. In the meaning of the words of Psalm 51, the psalmist is looking back in history of how the nation of Israel was formed. And through these, throughout the whole psalm, there's a repetition, there's an echo of to hear, that God's word is meant to be heard. And he offers a promise of comfort no matter what is going on in our lives. And he also summons us to wake up, to awake. And that's kind of what the season of Lent is about, of waking up in a spiritual realm with the Lord. And the psalmist talks about a nearness of God's act of redemption. And that's where we're going to spend some time in confession of sins this night and the aspect of seeking redemption through the Lord. That's what the psalmist is speaking of. And the psalmist is aware of the past action of the Lord and also pointing us to the future action of the Lord. And it's about restoration of life. So I invite you into this time of worship as we sing some Lenten songs this evening.
We'll be singing three hymns this evening to open our worship. The first being Beneath the Cross of Jesus.
Thank you.
this evening to close out our opening hymns of Lent, we'll sing Near the Cross.
In the dialogue this evening, we're going to be hearing from Simon Peter, or known as Peter, or known as Cephas. And one of the aspects that we'll be exploring a little bit between Peter and Paul is the forgiveness of our sins through the name of Jesus Christ our Lord as we come to the cross. So I want you to take a few moments, and I want you to bow before the Lord and make this a personal time of prayer to begin with. that if there are any sins that you are aware of, that you have committed or omitted, that we bow before the Lord and confess them. And then after a little while, I will enter us a time of prayer. So let's confess before the Lord. In the cross, O Christ, in the cross on which you hung, in the cross on which you bled and died, that we might know forgiveness of sins and salvation through your shed blood. Lord, in the cross, in the Christ we glory, that you have blessed us with faith, faith in Christ alone, a faith that we come to deepen, a faith that we come to express, a faith in Christ in which we seek eternal rest in this life and in the life to come. And Lord, during this Lenten season, in a mix of spiritual disciplines, including prayer and confession, repentance, and even penance, when we express our sorrow for the sins that we have committed, sins that we struggle with from day to day, temptations that creep up every once in a while in life, and we don't have the strength to always say no, a strong no. For the times when we give in to temptation and we fall. We also confess those times, Lord, when we're so caught up in what we're doing or what we're thinking, we miss opportunities around us. Those opportunities that can be considered sins of omission, where we have forsaken you and not done what you've called us to do. But in the power of the cross, you desire that we do not live with guilt or shame, and you provide an avenue where we can speak, we can talk, we can confess our sins to you and be washed clean. So, Lord, in this time of prayer, I call upon the powerful presence of your Spirit. I call upon the authoritative power of your Son, Jesus Christ. And I call upon your grace and your love, O God, to fill us, to push out those sins, to cleanse our minds that we don't dwell on them, as you strengthen us to live for tomorrow. As we live through this day, give us hope, give us peace, give us forgiveness. In the mighty power of Christ we pray. Amen. Hear the word from Psalm 103, verses 8 through 12. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. For as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. This is the promise of the Scriptures. Praise be to God. Amen.
I invite you to rise as you're able as we sing our hymn of response, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." ¶¶
Two readings from the Gospels this evening. First from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Both this passage and the passage from Matthew have to do with a couple of counts that happened in Peter's life. Peter is also often recognized as the impetuous disciple that spoke out or acted without necessarily thinking before. He's also remembered as the one who betrayed, and yet the Lord forgave him for that upon the time after the resurrection. And as we read this and think about Peter, we don't really know too much about the rest of the disciples. This group of 12, we know bits and pieces, and I like to think about gathering together with 12 or so people and who in that 12 speaks out first, or who are the quiet ones that sit in the back and wait for a lull in the conversation to speak. And so as we look at Peter, you know, let's try to put ourselves into that circle and know that maybe he's not as impetuous as we thought at times, as a thought as we lead into this scripture. So Luke 5, verses 1 through 11, an account of the calling of some of the first disciples. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little farther from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. And then turning to Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19, in Peter's confession of the Christ. Matthew 16, 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." This is the word of the Lord.